Okay, this is Malcolm Thomas, and this is my commentary for my passage from Inheritance of Laws. I chose this passage because I found the judge to be the most interesting character in the book. I particularly enjoyed the way Desai chose to slowly reveal his like different aspects of his past and build upon the person that is presented at the beginning of the book through relevant flashbacks. In this particular flashback, I think that the judge's disgust for his fellow Indians is exemplified, including his disgust for his family and his new wife, Nimi, or relatively new wife, Nimi. This seems to be a symptom of the assimilationist dilemma, which Haplin refers to in the book review that we were to read, in which the person is unable to feel comfortable anywhere, including within their own skin. I also found it interesting that the judge was unable to allow his family to laugh at him. I don't know if anybody else had a problem with that. I think there are two important objects in this passage, the first being the powder puff, which serves as a manifestation of his Anglophilia and literally is a way for him to become white. It is something that is his family is unable to comprehend, as shown in the pages that precede the passage, in which they're unable to pronounce it, and it's something which the judge is unable to properly describe when he's trying to interrogate them. One thing that puzzles me about is how we should read the taking of the powder puff. On page 182, it says that Nimi took it out of greed, but could this have anything to do with the judge's predilection for English women over Indian? The other interesting object in this passage is the monogram gravy boat. If the judge does not disguise his Anglophilia, why is there so much secrecy surrounding it? Do James Peter Peterson and Jemuhai Papatel Patel coexist, or has the former replaced the latter? The "if you please" at the end of the passage makes this particularly ambiguous. Perhaps James and Jemuhai are on a continuum in which the judge struggles to stay towards the James end, but at times finds himself going back to the Jemuhai end of it. Then there is the first sexual act, which occurs in this passage between the judge and his wife, which Desai describes with brutal detail. I was wondering which part of him can condone this act, which is basically a form of rape. There's the image of the uncle who witnesses the act through the crack door in the wall, which suggests that maybe Jemuhai is fine with it. But then, if the act is perpetrated by James, this could just be seen as an extension of colonialism. The passage also shows that much of the judge's anger for his wife stems from her resistance to assimilate. I was wondering, why did the judge want Nimi to assimilate so badly, especially considering how miserable it has made him? And what about the girls that are in the charge of the governess with their drooping faces? He tries to construct an English world like the one he suffered while away, and only communicates with cruelty. To reinforce this English world, he also hires a companion who Nimi just ends up resisting. The judge seems to believe that he cannot become completely English if his wife is not English as well. To him, Nimi's refusal to assimilate is a painful tie to his true culture. Right now, I'd like to point out two poetic flourishes which appear in the passage. Both of them are on page 185. The first is the shame, 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 which I'm not sure how to read. I thought it was just a way of reinforcing the word, but it might also be imitating somebody speaking it. It is a variation of something else that Desai does throughout the book, in which she does not use commas when listing out certain things. Then there's a part after the container is thrown. It seems to mimic the image of powder rising and then falling and settling. It seems to be similar to the poetic device of the bob and wheel, but I guess it would be a wheel and bob, since the smaller part appears on the second line.